Voice in the wilderness. In the wilderness. The rock star Prince died about a year ago, and last week a Christian church in Russia was banned. What do these things have in common? Well, both involve Jehovah's Witnesses. Prince was a high-profile member of the Jehovah's Witnesses. He even took part, briefly, in door-to-door evangelizing. Can you imagine that? Mum, look who's here at the door. Prince. Oh, another Jehovah's Witness. Close the door. Wouldn't work that way, would it? Last week, Russia's Supreme Court ruled that Jehovah's Witnesses are extremist. The organization shut down and its property confiscated by the state. Putin doesn't muck around. So who are the Jehovah's Witnesses and what do they believe? We asked the Jehovah's Witnesses headquarters in Australia. They couldn't provide a spokesman, and it would be a man because the leadership is all male. So today we're speaking with a former member whose exit from the church was rather traumatic. Paul Grundy was forced to leave 10 years ago, all because he started a website called Jehovah's Witness Facts that critically looked at the church beliefs and practices. Paul Grundy, hello.
Hi there.
Welcome to God Forbid. Why did you look critically at the church's practices on a website while you were still in the church?
So I came to the conclusion at about 25 that I didn't believe it. I didn't really have faith in the religion, but because of the manipulation around not being able to leave without being shunned, I ended up staying in for another 10 years.
So you were 10 years in this organisation that you didn't want to be in, even going to the point of setting up websites to criticise the organisation while staying. That's a funny headspace to be in.
Yeah, it's a very difficult headspace, but when you have a choice between being rejected by all your family and friends and staying, that's a very difficult choice to make. So Jehovah's Witnesses are well known for door knocking and trying to get people to join.
Prince came to my place.
Yes, that would have been good. He was one too, actually. His child had just died and his mother had just died, and so he was in a very emotionally vulnerable position. And so that was when he was preached to. So in that sort of state, the message that Jehovah's Witnesses preach is very...
seductive.
Seductive is a good word for it.
What are the principal beliefs of the Jehovah's Witness Church?
So they believe that they have this commission to preach, and that once they've preached the entire world, that's a requirement before Armageddon comes. What they don't really acknowledge is that very few people actually listen to the message. They generally just will get rid of them or take the magazine. But the message is that soon God is going to destroy the entire worldly system of things, all worldly people, all 7 billion of them.
Isn't that what some regular Christians believe with Revelation, the book of Revelation?
A few Pentecostals, etc., believe in a rapture-type scenario, but Jehovah's Witnesses are fairly unique in that they believe that the remaining people, Jehovah's Witnesses, will live on this planet and they will live for all eternity. But fundamentally, the difference is their level of control, shunning being number one.
So what's the structure there? Who controls who?
With any controlling organisation, it comes down to having a leadership, 8 governing body members, where they then have the ultimate say and they must not be questioned.
So eight in every parish or church?
This is in New York. So there is a group that lead, and the governing body numbers change. It's been up to 18, goes back and forth. And they set the rules. Those rules are actually provided to them by Holy Spirit through God, and so they cannot be questioned. Everything that you know and believe and do is all issued through the Watchtower magazine. In each congregation, there's elders and then ministerial servants and then there's publishers.
So this shunning, is this something the elder directs a family to do?
There is a formal process that has to be done, and so that is to sit before a judicial committee. So there was 3 elders that I had to meet with and discuss my faith and then or lack of faith, and because of my no longer believing in the governing body, the elders made the choice that I was unrepentant and to be disfellowshipped. So it's said to be the Holy Spirit that actually does that.
And that's why your parents didn't shun you before, because they loved you, but when it was the Holy Spirit saying, well, who are they to say no?
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone who's part of the world is soon going to be destroyed, you are not supposed to have friends that are not part of the religion. So it's all your friends and all your family that you associate with are all Jehovah's Witnesses. So when you leave, you actually just go into the wilderness. You go into absolute nothing. You have no beliefs. You have no friends, no social circle. So it is an extremely destructive practice.
Alice, what can chemistry teach us about Jehovah's Witnesses? You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to be very stretched on that one.
Chris Mulheron, Christianity can cover a great many different practices.
Yes, Christianity can, can't it? And it's tragic to hear what we're hearing now. But Christianity is about Christ, and I think we really do have to ask that question, what would Jesus do? Jesus' attitude to women, Jesus' attitude to everyone, the outsider, it's quite clear what sort of a person Jesus was.
But according to the witnesses, Jesus is speaking to the leadership, and the leadership is saying that Paul should be shunned from his family. That's what Jesus would do because they told him.
Well, I would respectfully disagree that that's the authentic voice of Jesus speaking.
Was that something, Paul, that was there a moment in your life when you said, hey, this isn't the authentic voice of Jesus?
Yes, that happened when I was 25. For many years, I thought, well, this is the most loving organisation. They're very genuine. They're nice people. So maybe they're not led by the Holy Spirit and Jesus or Jehovah, but they at least are attempting to do so in line with the Bible, closer than anyone else. And it was that period 10 years later where I started to research what other religions believe and, you know, history, etc., to realise that actually they're not really closely following the Bible. They're following the dreams of their founders and really just another religion that was a business about making money and controlling people.
Are you still Christian in one way or another, Paul?
No, I'm agnostic.
In fact, you gave testimony at the Royal Commission into Sexual Abuse.
Oh, I didn't give testimony, but I did consult with some of the lawyers there and spoke to Angus Stewart. So it was very, very interesting because most of the people involved, the leadership from the Australian branch, were all close friends of mine before I left the religion. I used to live with them at the headquarters, and to see them being so blatantly dishonest and that sort of paranoia they had about this being Satan's attack upon them or apostates' attack upon them, rather than recognising that it was
The Royal Commission was the devil's work.
Yeah, so they feel that they were being victimised specifically from apostates. There's another 60 or so religions that are all being examined. This is a very good government initiative, and yet they felt it was like a personal attack.
What do you think about Russia banning Jehovah's Witness?
So that's a very emotive topic, particularly amongst former Jehovah's Witnesses. So there's a group that feel that because it is such a damaging religion, there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, die every year from blood transfusions or the suicides that come from...
Not having blood transfusions. Because Jehovah's Witnesses believe you shouldn't.
Yeah, they believe you shouldn't.
Or can't.
Through a very poor type of interpretation of the Bible, through shunning and the suicides that result in that. A lot of people think it's such a harmful religion that it should be banned. But on the other hand, there's the other camp that feel that a dictator deciding who they can and can't ban is also taking away freedom of religion. I sort of sit somewhere in the middle that I think governments need to not be afraid to make religions accountable for when they are breaking the law. So the idea of shunning, whether that's a violation of human rights, whether banning people from taking, say, a blood transfusion, which leads to death, is something that, you know, governments should look more closely at, but not actually banning a religion outright. Tens of thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses have been murdered by different government systems over the years in banned places, particularly like in Africa. So it does lead to a lot of unfair hardship on Jehovah's Witnesses. And they really are innocent victims because they're being banned not because of what they do. They are very peaceful, loving people. But it's because of the extreme language that's being put into the Watchtower publications that they're suffering for.
Do you still get to see your mum and dad?
Not really. My father passed away about 4 years ago, and he'd shunned me mostly for many years until just before his death. And then my mother has very minimal contact with me, as does my sister and family.
Was it important to see Dad before the end?
Yeah, so I had a sort of good closure there because one of the rules is that when somebody is dying, that is an important family situation, you can have some contact before they die. So I did manage to come to terms with where he was at before he died.
And your mum, you just have to wait for her to...
Yeah, so she's such an extreme Jehovah's Witness. I think
she was more extreme than your dad, was she?
Yeah, so Dad just went along to keep the peace, I think. But she was very much a religious zealot, so I can't see there ever being a relationship there.
And tell me, when you pass the Jehovah's Witnesses handing out the Watchtower pamphlet in the street, what do you do?
I try not to talk to them because I get very emotional. When you're talking to somebody who really is indoctrinated. You see them, they switch off and just go into this robotic mode, and you cannot reason with them. So it just upsets me too much, so I try and avoid them. I guess that's the chemistry aspect that comes in there, is how the brain works and how people are indoctrinated, and the cognitive dissonance that comes around people believing something that absolutely is very obviously unfactual, and the triggers it has in the brain is something that really interested me. I did a lot of research into brain control, and it is enlightening how people will just believe anything that they want to because they don't want to face the consequences of accepting something they're uncomfortable with.
Alice Klein, you actually got into chemistry because you wanted to be a neuroscientist. If you still live that dream, Paul would be an excellent research colleague, wouldn't you think?
Indeed, sure.
The chemistry of the brain, explaining the nature of robotic behaviour and emotional anger induced by liberation from the Jehovah's Witness. Paul Grundy was the man who shared his Jehovah's Witness story. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
This week's Voice in the Wilderness.